Well, we want to start with Chris Williams' recent talk on where your pain and God's grace intersect. Following Chris's talk will be a call from Jennifer about addressing challenges as her daughter begins to date. Then we'll have a teaching moment with Dr. Sherry Keffer on gut instinct and intuition. Let's listen.
We are all carrying struggles and historical pains inside of us, one way or the other. Not all equal, not all the same. And I say this, the details are always different. That's where we always think, well, I'm not like so-and-so, and I'm not like such-and-such. And I'm like, I get it. But the process is always the same. And the process is that when painful and harmful and hurtful things happen in our lives, it gets into our soul, i.e. body. And it becomes an embodied experience. And I mentioned the other day about landmines that create landmines inside of us with tripwires. You know? So if Mary is feeling critiqued in some particular area of her life and it happens to walk through that tripwire, it's like, Mary, you just can't get it right. Then it's going to immediately just create pain. Now, it's easy for us to say, well, just extract the landmine. Like, I agree. That's my work. That's what I try to do with people is extract the landmines. You know, oftentimes, quite honestly, what we do is we try to change the people who are walking through the tripwires, knowing that the tripwire is never going to change. Instead of like, no, I got to do something inside, internal inside of me. But what Mary showed us in her wisdom and courage is that one of the remedies of this, put yourself in the way, in the pathway of God's goodness. Because those landmines inside of us are like also little monsters who want to be fed. They're always looking for evidence. You know, mine sits up here in my chest region and says, you're not good enough. And then it takes over and starts making up all of this evidence of why I'm not good enough. You know, so I walk into a room and I see Lauren over there and I'm like, uh-oh, there's Lauren. You know, he's been really successful in his life. He's really wise. He's, you know, he's a great husband. And I'm making up a story about Lauren. That's probably true. But then saying, I can't get close to Lauren because it's going to expose my not good enough. You know? Or I'm going to be like, oh, his goodness is so painful for me that I'm going to look for chinks in the armor. Right? Instead of being like, you know what? Maybe I just need to put myself with counter evidence and place myself in the pathway of God's grace and God's goodness. I think it's a practice that we definitely need because we are pained people on planet Earth. If we think about childbirth, pain is our entrance fee here, right? It is our entrance fee. And so to pretend like we live a pain-free life doesn't work. Now, and I think this is a trick of the evil one, it's then to convince us that we are unique and alone in our pain when it's a human universal. And part of that is that pain and all of its destructive attributes thrive in isolation. Exactly what Holly was showing us this morning is what is harmed. And I say this, harmed in relationship needs to be healed in relationship, but it's also harmed in secrecy needs to be healed in the light. And it's terrifying, but it's also universal and really important. New Life's mission is to bring hope and healing in life's hardest places. We need that now more than ever before. This mission is crucial. Crucial to the church, crucial to us, crucial to people. God's loved humanity. And that's what we get to participate in over and over and over and over again as family of New Life, friends of New Life, is to bring just that, hope and healing in life's hardest places. Another way I'd like to say that today is to bring light and love in life's darkest places. You see, we don't need redemption in the good things. But oftentimes, that's exactly what we're leading with. What we need is Christ's redemption in the darkened, hardest places. And our need actually is to create more vulnerability in those areas. You see, we're all vulnerable to something. I do this sort of counter-argument, and it's not really a counter-argument, but oftentimes our teachings, and I think Brené Brown has done a brilliant job in helping us understand vulnerability, but it's oftentimes vulnerability as a verb. And I'm like, it's not, it's a noun. Vulnerability is not something you do. Vulnerability is something you already are. You don't get the option. So what vulnerability is, in the end, is just honesty and humility. But it's also a choice in this way. As we're all vulnerable to something, including the pains and hurts that we carry, we're definitely, put me in the front of the line, vulnerable to all of the social media distractions and the news cycles and all those other things. What we really need is a vulnerability to God's goodness over and over and over again. Anne Voskamp, in her bestseller, 1,000 Gifts, is actually quoting Julian of Norwich, in which she says this: "The highest form of prayer is to the goodness of God. God only desires that our soul cling to him with all of its strength, in particular, that it clings to his goodness. For all the things our minds can think about God, it is thinking upon his goodness that pleases him the most and brings the most profit to our souls." And what I want to close with is that there is a practice and intentionality of putting ourselves in vulnerability to God's goodness, getting ourselves right in the crosshairs and the pathway of God's grace and goodness. And quite honestly, not hard to do here. Not hard to do on this phenomenal adventure that we're on together. And we need it so desperately. And we need it, that reminder. But now the challenge is, as even this morning as I woke up with anxiety around all the things I need to do when I get back into my daily life, and in the midst of those anxieties, in the midst of those tensions, my reminder is, man, when you go back, you need to practice putting yourself in the way of God's goodness. I'll land it here. When my boys turned 12, I decided, you know, with the help of Ember, my wife, to take them on sort of a rite of passage trip. And so my older boy turned 12 this last year, and originally I was like, oh, anywhere in the world, but the budget didn't allow for that. So I'm like, okay, anywhere in the United States. And still the budget was like, whoa, okay. So he chose Alaska. And so we took 10 days and went up to Alaska. In fact, it was Friends of New Life that hosted us up there in Anchorage and had us use our property down there on the Kenai Peninsula, and it was just spectacular. But one of the things that struck me of thinking about God's creation and God's goodness in his creation, as Genesis tells us over and over and over again, is how unbelievably wasteful it is. There are areas of this planet Earth that most and the majority of people will never see that are breathtakingly spectacular. God's goodness is not in short supply. It is wasteful. He has so much of it. And that's what I want to encourage us with. Is that, hey, I don't know where to find it. I don't know where it is. Put yourself in the way of it. Go find it. Go practice it. Because like what Julian of Norwich had prayed and Voskamp reminded us of, and what I need the reminder of, is that it is thinking upon his goodness that pleases him the most, but brings the most profit to my soul. to that place between my chin and my belly button. So as we go along, again, for you, it's going to be unique for you. What, quote unquote, does it for you? We'll find out what that is and keep doing it over and over. And when it stops working, find the new thing. Find the new thing. Because really it is the God's goodness that's going to sustain us in the midst of continuing to bringing hope and healing in life's hardest places. Thank you.